Late that night, a breeze sprang up. Clouds scudded across the moon, sending shifting patterns over the abbey floor beneath Iron Beak and Mangers. The Methuselah and Matthias bells rang briefly, stopping abruptly to leave an eerie silence in their wake.
How can the bells toll when we have the earth crawlers trapped in that room below?
Mangers murmured to Iron Beak.
Hold your beak!
Iron Beak silenced him.
I don't know how they rang the bells, and I don't care. It might be a diversion to stop us watching here. Keep your eyes on the floor below, over by the big door.
They waited and watched. So did the rooks from the dormitory, who had sneaked out onto the far corner of the galleries. Curiosity had overcome the general's command to stay in the dormitory. They had to see for themselves. The main abbey door creaked on its hinges, slowly opening. The raven and the crow held their breath as they watched it. A few dried leaves drifted in on the sighing breeze. Pale moon patterns swayed on the worn stone floor, and the darkness in shadowy corners seemed to grow deeper. The tomb-like silence was broken by a voice like rolling thunder.
Death waits in its place for those who stay.
Mangus felt the feathers on his back rise as if a cold paw had touched them. The ghostly phantom appeared. It came in slowly by the doorway, halted, looked up at Ironbeak and pointed with the sword.
Say, General, there it is, the armoured mouse,
Mangus exclaimed. Ironbeak buffeted the crow savagely.
Shut up, idiot! I'm going to deal with this once and for all.
The raven went into a short run. He hurled himself over the galleries and sped towards the floor of Great Hall. The apparition took one pace backward and vanished completely. There was a cry of horror from the rooks. General Ironbeak skidded to a halt, landing clumsily in his haste. He bowled over in a bundle of feathers. Swiftly regaining his balance, he dashed outside. It was mere seconds since the ghost had disappeared, but the grounds in front of the abbey were completely deserted. Ironbeak whirled about, baffled. He tore at the grass with his talons before rushing back inside. Hither and thither he darted about on the floor stones. Finally he halted, his powerful frame heaving with exertion. Looking upwards, he sought something to vent his rage upon. The rooks in the corner of the gallery. They cackled as they dashed to get back to the dormitory, but Ironbeak was swiftly among them, lashing out left and right, tearing with his claws, slamming with strong wings, and hitting out with his vicious beak.
Why did you not fly down and catch the thing? You were closer than I was. Get back to your perches, you swamp flies. Go on out of my sight, you soft-beaked craven. You will forget what you saw here. It was only a trick of the moonlight. If I hear one bird speak of it, I will break his wings.
The rooks fled the scene, with Ironbeak chasing them. Mangus slipped away quietly from the other end of the galleries, not wanting to face his general's rage. Great Hall lay quiet and still once more. Behind the half-open door, Constance and Formal folded the black cloth which they had used to make Cornflower vanish. The three Redwallers slid silently from the Great Hall, out into the tunnel and back to Cavern Hole, where supper was set out ready for them. The abbot took the sword from Cornflower as she unbuckled the armour.
Well, how did it go?
He asked anxiously.
Perfect, Father Abbot. I appeared. The birds were terrified. The raven flew at me. It was perfect.
Ironbeak flew at you? How did you escape?
Easily. Constance and Formal tossed the black cloth over me. I dodged round the door and we all hid behind it. Ironbeak searched outside and inside, but he didn't look behind the door.
Formal wrinkled his nose.
Yeah, these scones taste like hot root. Give me water. There'll be enough hot root in yon soups to set a fire to you.
Ambrose gave him a look of injured dignity.
Try some of the roast leaf and cowslip custard.
The abbot prodded it gingerly.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was a collapsed bird's nest.
Ambrose sniffed and went off to the wine cellar with his snout in the air.
Well, I enjoyed it. You lot don't deserve a good cook.
Night had fallen over the copse. Matthias and Orlando sat upon the step, putting an edge to axe and sword against the stone. Shrews filled their sling pouches. Basil let his fill. and she and Jess fashioned javelins, hardening their points over the campfire. Daggers, swords and knives were tested. Bows made from strong green boughs, arrows tipped and hardened in the fire. It was but a few hours to dawn when all the preparations were completed. They lay down to take a brief rest. Before they slept, Matthias, Jess, Orlando and Jabez stood above the stone step. They held pause foursquare and swore a solemn oath.
At dawn we will go down those steps.
We will not come back up without our young ones.
Nor will we come up if the fox still lives.
Orlando turned to the five shivering weasel captives and pointed his axe at them.
Get yourselves ready, because you'll be going down first.
This ends Disc 9.